This is Scott Allen from odecoded.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Coon from lazycoder.com.
Hi, this is John. This episode is a recording of an ad hoc discussion about next-generation Twitter clients in Silverlight 3 and WPF from Mix09. It wasn't intended to be a podcast, but enough people liked it that we thought we'd just throw it out there. As a warning, this is below our already low Herding Code audio quality standards. It was recorded in a noisy room with a single microphone. So I've done what I can to clean up the noise and make the voices a little more audible, but if you get thrown off by poor audio quality, you should stop right here. So a quick introduction about the people in the discussion. Tim Hewer is a senior program manager for Microsoft Silverlight. Alan Lee is a senior creative developer at Vertigo, and he's the founder of the Witty Project. Chris Benage is a Silverlight and WPF developer. He's the author of Sam's Teach Yourself WPF in 24 Hours, and he's a developer on the Caliburn Project. And I'm in there too. Okay, on with the show.
So to set the agenda, we're talking about next generation Twitter client on WPF Silverlight is our goal, right? So what are the pain points we have and what do we want to solve? I mean, like I've said it before, but I'll reiterate it for the microphone.
Sure.
So I have a wall of information. You know, I'm keeping track of, you know, 250 people I'm following. I have different streams of, you know, I have my main stream I'm following. I have my, you should show me all the WPF Silverlight tweets. Show me all the Mix09 tweets. I have another group that is just people local, physically close to me, so I can say, oh, so-and-so is going to lunch right now. I'll meet them there.
So you're using TweetDeck then?
I'm using TweetDeck.
Yeah, so I think that may be like a starting point of what is the primary use case.
Right.
Because I don't, like, that's firehose information for me. And I don't use a full, I use Twirl. And for me, the minimum bar is Twirl. And they do have the same type of features where you can say, you know, I want to search for these terms. That they don't have the concept of groups, which I do like. But I like that it's, like, physically on my screen, I like how it's messenger style.
Yeah.
How it's just...
with the pop-ups in the taskbar.
I could do without the notifications, you know. It's kind of, like, peripheral for me, at least. But
my thought on the notifications is, and this is kind of a side note, but I think notifications, if they're configurable, so you can say, you know, I only want a notification for a direct message.
Yeah,
like,
and
that's important.
And that's how it has it, yeah. Actually, I think that's how I do have mine, too. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, I think there are very different use scenarios of it.
So what do you use Twitter for? Why do you use Twitter?
I track Silverlight. Uh-huh. And to just kind of keep in tune with, you know, people that I find interesting and what kind of their thought stream is and stuff. And it's a fun thing for me. It's not a business thing at all. But I think it's you know, if you have that benchmark, you know, especially if you're like a blogger or something like that, if you have that benchmark of what's the minimum thing that defines what a blog post to you is as far as information you want to tell people. And, you know, I use Twitter for, at least in my job too, I use Twitter for, if it's not quite a blog post, but I think it's still valuable information for developers, then I use that audience to try to help get that message out.
Okay.
Right, like what I did this morning, like Lawrence has a, you know, the PDF version of the book that they gave out, which is on the Silverlight.net site and everything like that, but I didn't know if people really knew it was available to send around to other people. And I'm not going to do a blog post that's like, hey, click this link, you know. I think that's not enough signal, I guess, for like a full blog post, I think, versus just saying, hey, here's a bit of it.
So there's like the microblogging aspect.
Yeah.
And then there's also kind of the community connection stuff, you know, where it's like you say, hey, here's this link, and two or three people respond to you, and there's kind of a conversation around that.
But like I said, I mean, I think feature-wise, I think actually TweetDeck and Twirl, I think, are, if you strip away the user interface from them,
they're very similar.
I think they're exact feature-wise. They've implemented the same features.
And I'm hearing two things.
The implementation of such features, or functions, I should say, the implementation of functions is slightly different.
I'm hearing two broad sets of uses. One where we're consuming stuff coming in, another one when we're sending stuff out, I guess. Not so the, and you mentioned the word community. I have at least two distinct communities that I interact with on Twitter, which are mostly the development world, and then people local to where I'm at. Do you guys deal with more than one community?
Yeah. With your Twitter? And, you know, I think I would more if Twitter was better at it. For instance, like...
Twitter doesn't do a good job of dissecting those communities for you, right? So, like, my wife and my neighborhood friends are now on Twitter, which is kind of scary.
Right.
But I would find it odd sending a message to my wife, because my wife... Because that other network you're talking about is actually a protected one. Like, my wife protects her updates. So if I was like, you know, at Lisa Hewer, hey, blah, 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 then I think my audience might go, who's this Lisa Hewer person? And it's just, it creates this, like, weird connection that, like, Facebook is that way for me.
Darrow Bassanjo and other people have talked about that, too. The problem where you've got multiple networks and you don't want them to intersect. You know, they don't make any sense together.
Yeah, it's not that, it's that side of it. It's not that I don't want them to, it's just that I think it would create confusion between the networks. And potentially degrade your use of it. Like, I definitely use it for technical reasons, right? I mean, that's my outreach to my technical community.
So, and then, Alan, you use mostly friend feed.
At the moment, I went back to Twitter. Like,
okay.
Because it makes more sense for conferences like this, where just friend feed is more fun than practical or pragmatic. So, I've been back to Twitter recently. But if we create a tool, it'd be great if it supports services like Twitter and FinFeed or whatever comes after Twitter or clones of Twitter. That'd be great as well.
What do you guys think? Is there a benefit to that? I've gone back and forth because on the one hand, you know, people say, well, great, could you pull this in, pull this in too? And the danger with that is you end up trying to do a lot of things and not being a great Twitter client, you know?
I would say not do that. Like, actually, Twirl has that capability where you can do friend feed, but friend feed's use is different than Twitter. So, like, they're trying to jam friend feed into the Twitter model, and it just doesn't... And actually, Seismic, who owns Twirl, right? They just did a Facebook client, too, that strips out everything in Facebook, but your friend's status feed... And you can't reply. I mean, when you look at it, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so, and then you get their Facebook status, and you want to comment or something like that, but you can't. They haven't implemented a feature. I don't know if the API is not there, but, yeah, I think, you know, it's if you want to be a tool like iPod, I mean, that's what made iPod successful. It's like, hey, we're a radio player, or a music player. We do one thing very well.
But then there's tools like Digsby where it makes sense because it has Gmail.
But here's the thing with Digsby and Pigeon and all this is, the thing is they're based on a protocol and a specific use, right? So it is an instant message. Sometimes it's a literal standard protocol, like Jabber. You know, any Jabber client can, you know, if your messenger service implements Jabber, that makes sense that your app can implement multiple messages service. Twitter is, you know, 140 character updates. Facebook, there's no character limit. Friend feed, the way that they show the conversations is different. So I think the use cases between those two, while at a high level, they might have a similar function a similar form, I guess. Their actual implementation is such different that they are distinct, in my eyes at least.
Yeah. So I do agree that we should make a Twitter client that excels in Twitter, but we shouldn't block out the extensibility part of it.
Like, yeah, so you're
saying for example, if like a tweet has a tweet pick in it, our client should display that tweet Twitter pick inside, or give the opportunity for the user to choose to display the picture inside, or if it's a tiny URL to decompress that, or you know any kind of link to some way to incorporate that, kind of like what web accelerators are for IE8.
Yeah.
I talked to John Lamb the other day about this, and one of the guys that's been contributing to Witty lately, James DeVille, is a tester on the Iron Ruby team. And both of those guys have been talking about DLR scripting support, kind of like plugins. And so I think that, you know, some benefit to that is then you could maybe, like, you'd have some in-the-box functionality, but then if people want to say, I would love to highlight everything that has a link to, you know, /. I don't, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, a way of doing that without waiting for, hey, developers, crank out a build, you know. I don't know. I think that there's like not
even like the meth concept too.
Yeah, exactly.
Now those type of things, when you start thinking implementation about those type of things, though, some of those decisions do tie to platform decisions as well, right? So if you say, oh, meth might be a good thing, it's no longer a Silverlight solution.
Right. Yeah. Whereas with DLR, more likely, right?
It would be closer.
Yeah.
But it's like, it would be more... No, actually, yeah, it would be closer because, yeah, from Silverlight, everything would be in this app, so yeah.
I've been wondering about, you know, maybe we build something with a... we build a comments... you know, framework, and then, and I don't know about, you know, trying to design this grand plan, you know, but maybe like an idea where we build a, like, start with Silverlight offline and, you know, a common framework that we think later we could expand, you know, make it bigger and better in WPF if people wanted, and do a client. I don't know. Does that sound like a Vietnam sort of, or
you're saying to have like a cross compiling source,
right?
Well, if you're suggesting to actually implement the continuum of client technologies,
what would be the
value? Would be crazy.
What would be the value in this particular case? I mean, if we have a Silverlight app
that does it,
what's the value?
I don't know, to be honest. I've been wondering what
extensibility might be one, right? So if you had, I brought up this one here because I was just made aware of this one here. I don't know what you can see.
Destroy Twitter.
It's like what Robbie uses. Yeah. And I had never heard of it, and so I looked it up. And it's
they have a destroy Flickr.
Yeah, they have everything, and it's very like simple, and they have a couple animations and things like that. But I mean, it's interesting to see, and this was done by designers, right? I mean,
is this an air app?
No, it is, but. Like both of these and TweetDeck too, right? They serve the specific purpose. But if you start going in, and I think both of these and TweetDeck could be done in Silverlight. I haven't, you know, the API is like the access to the REST interface is the gotcha with Silverlight. But the then you start talking about what John was saying, like, well, what if, you know, you don't want to wait for that developer or skins even, like how Witty does it, right?
Yeah.
That becomes no longer a Silverlight type function. That you say, okay, well, we do have this WPF offering, so yeah, you know, if you want more of a full featured rich, then you go to this one, which still, guess what, the initial install is exactly the same, but it has extensibility points to just drop your assembly in this folder, and you know, now you have multi-column support or something like that or whatever. So I think that would be the delta between between the answer of your why, extensibility points for me.
Yeah.
And the other point of it is in terms of Silverlight and WPF, like one limitation, big limitation with Silverlight is lack of commands. So if we were to implement something that supports multiple views, right? And
we have a solution for that in Caliburn.
Yeah, but then there's all these variant solutions. Josh missed relay command. There's so many patterns around it. Whereas WPF has a central command system built into it already, and we can just use that. And people that know WPF or want to help develop our open source client, they can take that time to learn or practice that.
You know, the thing though, we haven't had many people that are like, hey, I'm big in WPF, I'd love to help with it.
I mean, I think the weight of those type of decisions have to be concerned with how much you, it's great that open, you know, I think open source is great, but, and I think the Microsoft community though, with regard to open source is different than the history of open source where there's a lot of contributors. So I think the risk there of saying, oh, well, if we do it this way, it makes it easier for people to contribute, I think is a bad priority decision.
I would agree. I would agree with that.
Like, again, it gets back to, you know, I want to do a Notepad application. So, like, Notepad, guess what? It does one thing. It does one thing well.
Well, my goal.
And that's all it does.
I'm influenced by, I think it was J.R. Tolkien who wrote Lord of the Rings because no one was writing books that he wanted to read. So he said, well, I have to write the book I want to read. I want to write the Twitter client I want to use. That's my motivation here. I only care about making this so that I can use it.
So I'm trying to boil down like some of the things we're talking about. I think that we would like to build something that... Here's what I'd propose. Something we can build with a quick release or, you know, like not a year long to build this awesome thing. Start with Silverlight out of the browser, pull in just Twitter, but build it so that we have extensibility points. So that, Right, yeah. So we could say, well, we could pull in, you know, if people want to form, you know, want to map friend feed or want to map whatever to Twitter, if they want to, you can enable that. You don't have to use it. But if someone wants to do that, they're not cut off from doing that. Because we have, some people like it, some people don't. I think that there's, like, we talked about, like, different use cases. You know, some people really want pull everything in, and some people don't. Some people want the messenger style. Other people want the full screen. So, you know, have to think about, you know, maybe we start with the messenger style. I don't know how to do that.
What I want to do here, though, is hear more about... What value do we really want to get out of Twitter? Like, I don't want to start off by assuming that I want the wall, because actually I hate the wall of information. That's the way I use it, but that's really inefficient for what I really care about. So I want to think about what's the value that I want to get out of Twitter, and what sort of new ways of thinking about visualizing Twitter. What can we come up with that will help solve those problems? That's why I'm curious to know what you, how you guys use it.
Yeah, what's okay. Totally interesting to me is that. For me, this experiment would merely be to leverage a Microsoft platform to implement it, right? Like, Twirl, for me, my personal use is the minimum bar. I'm happy with it. I mean, you know?
You know, I know some people that when they use Twirl, one thing they really like is the ability to mark things as read.
Never use that. Okay. Never. I guess I just... Twitter for me is a cocktail conversation I come in and out at whenever I want. And the stuff that's most important to me is called direct messages and replies that I can see at any given time. But the constant thought stream of the 200 plus people that you're mentioning, like, if I miss 7 hours of that thought stream, oh well.
Ryan, and
if it was important conversation and it was relative to a keyword that I have, I'll see it somehow.
And I don't actually even want to read that thought stream. I just want to get a general feel for what's going on there. I mean, here's a good example. So TweetDeck has built into it the TwitScope. Have you seen that? Actually, can you pull up the... I think it's either TwitScope or TweetScope. Basically, this is something that monitors all of Twitter and gives you a tag cloud about what people are talking about. And it's really cool, but because if you leave it up, you'll see, oh, wow, there was an earthquake in Indonesia 30 seconds ago. Because all of a sudden, earthquake in Indonesia are really big words in the tag cloud. I would find that useful for what's going on at Mix. Did it come up?
TwitScope?
Yeah, I think that's it. Do you know what the URL is for that? Is it TwitScope?
I am not... I'm not sure. I use TweetDeck, and you know, they have that. It's one of the panes off to the side. I think that actually might be a more compelling use case as almost a widget, something on the device. Something very, very small, but it takes, instead of 50 things, you know, 40 of which I'm not interested in, it takes a couple of them and just puts them there that you can just kind of glance at. I don't like having it off to the side because it means I have to actually move over there and think about it.
Exactly.
So we talked a little bit the other day about the idea of kind of like an interestingness, like scaling the interestness to the size. So if I want to expand it out and see everything, I've got my dashboard and it's got stuff, shrink it down to the messenger size and it's got, boom, the most important stuff. I've got two direct messages. I really want to see those. I've got three replies, more kind of important. Two people in my favorites group have said something in the past hour that's important. You know what I mean? And then I expand it out, and that stuff is still there, but now more stuff comes in.
I wasn't even thinking of it in terms of necessarily the flexible layout, but just as a concept by itself, that you have interestingness as a concept for each tweet, and there may be a dozen different ways to visualize that. I mean, some of the stuff we were talking about, I guess the party last night, using color to distinguish the interesting level. I was even thinking that you might even make the not interesting ones fade into the background. So the ones that are interesting actually pop up. They could actually maybe diminish in size. I mean, there could be a dozen different ways to come across that. Yeah. So I don't check that often, but I would be interested looking at something like this regarding the mix hashtag, just to see, oh, people are, this session is really good. There's a conversation going on. honestly, at an open spaces event, that would be phenomenal, because then you can see, oh, well, there's this going on over there, and I'm interested in that, so.
So, Twit Scoop, not Twit Scope.
Yeah, sorry about that.
The problem with Twit Scoop is this is more global to all of Twitter, and it's not relevant to any of these pages.
Precisely. And that's why it's...
But that could be, that could be an accessibility problem.
No, it could very much be. I mean, that's... Earlier when we were talking about having this shell application that you could plug these providers into, you could take this concept and apply it to any of these, to FriendFeed, to Twitter, it doesn't matter. Because basically they all boil down to, here's a stream of items with some text content in it.
Actually, I totally retract on my statement that the Silverlight version couldn't be extensible.
I think it could be extensible, actually.
Because if we just had an interface and you could say, it would be different. It wouldn't be like a math drop-in type thing, but you would say, add plugin, here's the URI to that zap.
Yeah. Or
and then I suck it down. Yeah. I'm thinking implementation. But
yeah, yeah.
No, I think you
I
could.
Was wrong in my
well, you, and, you know, maybe DLR, too. You could save to, you know, save a script or whatever, but save it to a local, you know.
Well, wasn't there a session that was, or somewhere I was reading, talking about loading assemblies in Silverlight dynamically?
Transparent assembly cache, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't think it'd be a problem at all. And in fact, I think we could even use, like, Ninjek as well with some extensions, since that's cross-compiling. The difference is, you know, with a native client or WPF client, you're dropping assemblies. You could even have some sort of discovery service, actually. I don't know how that would work.
Somebody has to own that discovery now. Though.
Yeah, so
never mind. It might
I don't
be easier just to say. Yeah, that's what I mean. It might be easier just to say, hey, here's, you know, if you want to plug in, here's the interface. I mean, exactly how you would do it in MEF or any other type of extensibility point there.
I think the hard thing, we keep going around, like, there's very, each of us uses all these services very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a way to build, like, you know, lowest common denominator and continue to build out from that, you know? But
But don't you think, I mean, like, when you guys have, like, for Witty, do you feel that you have the lowest common denominator right now?
No. Well, it's...
Oh, really?
Well...
I think you do.
As a messenger, it's similar to Twirl. Similar. It's missing on some important things. It's missing, I think, for me, some of the most important things I think it's missing is the groups and favorites. That's, I would...
Yeah, but
for me, it's
I wouldn't
tracking
say that.
As well.
It's what?
Tracking? The search. Track feature. The search basically. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I want to see
that's
everything
I
related
know
to things.
So, I thought of those as, like, basically, the way I'd been, you know, I'd, like, just mocked up some stuff. But, you know, basically, like, we've got three tabs, you know, user replies, direct, whatever, and add on where you can add more of those tabs, and each tab is like a combo box. I mean, the UI is wrong, but this is the idea. So then my combo box could be, you know, a search term, or it could be a friend group, you know, and it's my group of developer friends,
right,
or it's my group of whatever. And then in that group, I add into that. Now, the UI is not right, but I mean, the idea of, similar to TweetDeck, right, where you can say, here's my column, here's my column, here's my column, And I've, like, thought about hacking it in, kind of, but I don't really think that it would be, like, bolting on instead of, like, kind of rethinking at this point, you know?
Because I think if you had to define what the lowest common, like, what that minimum bar is for functionality, I think it's the friends timeline, the replies, which I think...
It's essential.
The replies is essential, but I don't think that the way that I understand Twitter's API to implement replies is a reply is technically only thing something that starts with it. So I would say you redefine replies with the search API.
Yes, I would agree with that.
And direct messages.
Yeah.
And obviously the ability to reply and post and things like that.
So and TweetDeck operates, I think, using a search for the replies as opposed to the official.
And a nice thing with that is... you don't pay an API hit for that.
On the search
API. Search APIs, which, and we've thought about, like, anything we can do with the search API, you're not using one of your hits, so that's nice. Now, people have said that you can get a little bit more of a lag with that, but I think that generally it keeps up as well as the Twitter API.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say that's the that's why I said I think in Witty, I think you guys have the minimum starting point.
So would you think, I mean, would you think that, is it too early for me to try and jump into implementation, or?
I think we'd have to agree on what the minimum starting point is.
What I'm wondering is, okay, so let's say we took something like the feature set of Witty, not the back end, all that, the feature set of Witty, looked at a Silverlight out of the browser, feature set of Witty, and build it with some extension points. So build it so that we could say, okay, we could take information from friend feed later. We're not going to build it today, but and then we also build it with the idea of we could add in the groups I really would like to see the groups and search stuff as kind of almost minimum bar.
What is a group you define?
Well,
you define
search. It, what searching? Yeah.
But I mean, groups is different. Right? Groups is I define a
with regard
a subset of a friend's timeline, a custom timeline.
I mean, if you're saying within the context of TweetDeck that you say I want these, you know, 16 people to be a group, and that's what qualifies a group.
Okay. So it. Yeah.
I wonder if maybe. So two things I'm thinking about. One is you build Witty in Silverlight out of the browser, basically. And then, but with a better engine so that it's easier to keep moving forward, MVVM and all that stuff. Or you add in some of this TweetDeck stuff in that first step. And I'm not sure if I understand well enough to do the multi-view support kind of stuff.
I can help you out with that. I don't think that'd be a big issue at all, actually. I'm much more concerned with how we could actually visualize those views as opposed to having the underlying architecture to support it.
There are two different, I mean, the technical implementation and then the nail on the user experience, which Felix, you guys know Felix Cork?
No.
He's a designer in the UK.
Okay.
And he likes volunteering his time, so.
That's good to know. That's very good to know.
I think that's critical, is having someone to really challenge us on those visualizations from a first step, and then say, and then for us as developers, really to give that feedback, say, well, you know, based on our target of how we understand the uses to be, you know, that spinning 3D balloon easing animation that you added in there, a little bit too gratuitous, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
So what? How would you think Felix would interact? Like, could he do some UI concepting for us?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think, you know, I mean, if we could walk away from Mix saying, here's kind of our minimum feature set, here's what we like in TweetDeck, here's what we like in Twirl, you know, we're not out to be gratuitous or whatever, you know, but just like, if you know, hey, designer dude, you know, if you had to redesign, given these, you know, he knows of Twitter, you know, if you had to redesign or design a Twitter client with these feature sets, don't worry about the underlying architecture, but interacting with that data look like to you? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I'm actually, my brain's jumping back a little bit. Extensibility. There are two areas with that, I think. One is much harder than the other. we can make it purely a Twitter client with not the using providers for different services and still have it highly extensible in terms of, you know, allowing different renderings, plugins that do different highlighting, whatnot, so on, et cetera. But if we fundamentally make it something where we can plug in different services, there is a lot of technical concerns I think we need to talk about up front. I mean, because I started spiking that out after our last conversation, and I was like, well, okay, you run into this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. And some of that may actually even affect the way a designer would approach.
In hindsight, with creating Witty, I'm nowhere as near at coding as some of you guys are, especially Chris here. There were a lot of mistakes, so starting with the architecture might make sense. Like, one mistake is the whole relying on the UI right now to do the dispatching instead of the object or the library to actually handle dispatching. So just handling some of that, and then the ability to support multiple views, like the concept of seeing it one way and then giving the end the end goal there is giving the user the ultimate flexibility in choosing how they want to view this information. Like Tim had one usage where he likes that single bar, and yeah, you're not necessarily the wall of info, but you might want something else, right? Mm-hmm. And John was talking about in Photos U, I think they have that expandable, collapsible column.
Yeah, thing.
It could support that.
Yeah, actually, like I would use, for me, I don't have a desktop at home. This is the largest screen that I own, so that's why I like Twirl, because it's out. It for the most part, it's out of the way. It's not intrusive. Yeah, and I don't have multi-mon. I don't have any of that stuff. So that really drives my usage of any application that I have.
I have three monitors, 20 inch in the middle.
So here's the tweet deck feature in Twirl, right? They've implemented instead of columns as this, but it would be cool to say, show me the blown out.
Yeah.
You know, and then so, you know, some cool thing.
These are all collapsed. Each tab is really a collapsed column. So in a way, you could just, as you expand this, each tab becomes a column, right? You expand past a certain size and we just flow, you know, flow that out.
Yeah. And my thoughts are even taking it a step further, right? By incorporating, having a richer set of features, we can say, hey, we can take the, like Silverlight, right? Let's say the activity, right? Only three of these items are new, really. We can somehow have a panel that's like an activity feed that shows, okay, three from Silverlight, you mark that you like Mixonline, Silverlight, and you have a group of people that you created, like aggregating that into a smaller, like, kind of activity feed, right? And then that basically reduces the noise between the older stuff, the stuff that's happened half an hour ago based on this Silverlight search. And you don't have to go through each section to view what's the relevant information. You can have one kind of pane there, or you can, like, say, okay, actually, I have time now. I want to view all this information as a whole to get more context. You expand it back out, and you see this information.
As much as I hate Vista's sidebar gadget, I like that model of the docked, undocked. Like, when it's docked, it's a specific size, it's a specific use.
Yes.
But then if I want to see more, I undock it, and it's a different experience. Mm-hmm. But the same information, just visualized differently.
Yeah.
But, so are you talking about, I mean, I like the idea, like, basically Witty, similar to Twirl, in that it's off on the side. But I do like that I can expand it, right?
Oh, yeah,
So when you're saying docked one size, I mean, you're talking about one use.
Okay, you know, like, this is my normal view, and I'm looking at stuff, and it's, you know, maybe I got an hour to kill or something like that, and I just want to start looking at a bunch of things, you know, change view or whatever, you know, toggle to full screen mode or something like that.
I've thought too, you know, when you've got multiple views, there's even like, how hard is it then to just have a screensaver view, you know? And it's like, I don't know, in Silverlight, exactly. So, I mean, and I've thought of doing that with Witty too. It's like, we've got all the tweets there, we've got all the information, just, you know, when I don't know how hard it is to hook that up with the screensaver. And again, another issue with Silverlight, I don't know how that would work.
Well, now that you can do the inter-app communication, right? Now that you can open up ports between that, you know, you could have just a little screensaver app that you're feeding information to. I mean, still have all of the information coming from your actual Silverlight client, but it communicating maybe to a little WPF app that is the actual screensaver or something.
Yeah, true.
Because I think there would be a lot of screensaver specific concerns that you don't want to clutter up your actual client with. But I don't know. That's
you were talking earlier. I hate to jump around. I'm sorry. You were saying earlier that you started spiking on this, and you ran into some problems with having a pulling in from multiple places. So what sort of problems were?
Okay, so first of all, I'll start off by what's the same. Essentially, with all these services, you have some sort of stream of information as a set of items you're getting. Really, it's the same as like an RSS feed. So I thought, okay, well, that's easy. I started creating sort of an abstract model, set of interfaces that represented that. But then the first real roadblock I ran into, I guess the only one really at this point, was each one of these services conceivably might have a different way to authenticate itself. And so, for example, and this is trivial, you could just, you know, push through this, but FriendFeed has the nickname and the remote key. You know, Twitter has username and password. That's just a semantic difference. But at the same time, in the UI, you want to reflect the actual provider you're using. And it's conceivable that if you're creating this provider model, someone else may have, you know, three bits of information they need, or they may need, you know, some sort of, you know, well, something, they may need something different. So how do you accommodate that as well? And I sort of came up with a solution for it, but I didn't have time to test it out. But
Facebook as an extensibility point is the better example to look at in that problem space, right? Because you have to get a token. Your auth has to wait for a token to validate, and then you save it, and then you can start communicating.
There you go.
Right? It's not just as simple as a put in these pieces of information, and now I'm logged in.
A little bit like the Flickr authentication.
Yeah, okay. And see, I wasn't even thinking of that level. I was thinking, well, I thought there'll be custom authentication logic. I was worried about how am I going to handle that in the user interface, visualizing that. Although there's, I mean, that's why I love WPF and Silverlight. There's good tricks for doing that, but.
Right. So you have kind of a way to just map, well, I've got these user, you know, I've got these three parts of information and I've got a system that just lay those out, right? Well, I need three strings with these value names.
The way I did it in my, well, I can't even call it a prototype. You know, it's like 100 lines of code at most. I actually had on my each, like I had an iProvider interface that was for each one of these guys. I had on that a login properties, a just properties collection where I had defined an iProperty that had a label, an ID, a key, and then a value that's going to be a string. And so for each one of those, I just built up a graph of objects, which was two objects, you know, password and username, and exposed, so that was exposed through the that provider. And then I just have an items control that renders that with data templates to actually make it like a form, but it's just data on the provider. And so then the form can bind back directly to it, and then the provider has access to that information for whatever custom logic it needs to run. That was kind of the angle I was taking with it, because we've done similar things before in that line.
That's helpful, even if it was just a Twitter client, because, for instance, we've been adding on other, you know, there's Tiny URL, which is anonymous, but then there's other URL shorteners,
like
Bitly and stuff, and they have anonymous APIs, but they also, if you have an account, they'll track your stats and your click-throughs and all that. And so we would like to be able to add other services, right? I mean, Flickr maybe would be good to have, or, you know, TwitPic, well, TwitPic uses Twitter, but, you know, that kind of thing. And so having kind of a common authentication system, or, you know, like a provider login, whatever system, would be helpful, even if it was to start with just Twitter, because there's other cases there.
That's one very powerful notion that we've leveraged a lot that I think this project could use is, if you think of a UI as data, some object, some graph of objects that represents what that needs to be rendered, then you can use the power of, you know, items controls to, I mean, we've done some really cool stuff taking that approach to it, where we have basically screens that are entirely dependent upon the data being viewed, and it just looks entirely, you know, completely different depending on what sources are coming in. So, also makes it easier to plug in the new features. Actually, okay, here's something I think would be very important for us to discuss too. I picked this up from Oren, who I think articulated it very well. There are concepts an application has to support, and there are features. And to clarify that, concepts are one of the big things it needs to do. Like, for example, we want to have queries going to the Twitter. We don't be able to do queries. Adding specific types of queries would be a feature. You know, we can have, you know, give me one where I can do by keywords, give me one where I can pick by selecting the users that are in a group. Concepts take a long time to add to an application. If we want to introduce new concepts, like you're talking about going back and trying to bolt on some ideas into Witty, it's more painful to add the new concepts to an existing app. So if we can identify the core concepts up front, it'll make adding those features, which are really, you know, fleshing out a concept, much easier later on. So I think that would be a good thing to keep in mind as we're planning this out. Identify, here's our core central concepts we want to make sure we hit. And even if they aren't going to be V1, to at least have them on paper so we can say, well, we want extension points. You know, we're going to put seams in the application so that these things can bolt on later without causing us much pain. Mm-hmm. So that's my preaching.
Yeah, I agree. So do you want to try and make a list of V1 or of concepts that we think are important?
I think we should. And that's actually what I was fishing for when I wanted to say, well, how do we currently use it? Mm-hmm. And then what are our pain points in that? And actually, one other pain point I didn't write down was you said the cocktail party conversation. I'll come into the middle of a conversation, somebody that was something really interesting, and I will have a hard time jumping into it because I don't know what was going on for the hour prior to me showing up. And I want to quickly just, you know, read, because it may be only, you know, six or seven tweets, But finding it in my list, and then, oh, it's this person here I didn't.
Right.
That's a problem I'd like to solve. And, of course, that may be completely out of scope for this, but.
But building with the concept. Adding a concept of being able to solve that sort of problem. Like, so we have our default view, but then we'd like to be able to add that feature later of a view, a specific view, right? A view that helps with something.
Exactly. Because
interestingness or conversations or whatever.
Exactly. Because that could boil down to a query. And then at that point, it's just a matter of getting that designer to say, here's a way to render that query so it looks like a conversation. But I don't know. That was just one thing I want to make sure I threw out, as that's a pain point for me as well.
So basically, yeah, if I could repeat what you're saying, basically, yeah, what you're thinking is that right now one of the pain points is seeing only half of the conversation or seeing only parts of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Being able to see the conversation as a whole would be important for you. And I think there's two parts there. There's that, and then there's if you are following both people, you will see the conversation as a whole, and it might be lost in the overall timeline. And the second problem is, if you are following only one of them, you won't, the other bits of the conversation would not be there.
You kind of want the, what are these guys talking about?
It seems like, you know, I mean, algorithmically, I can solve this problem, right? Because if you're talking, if I see you're having a conversation, I can look at all your tweets and I can say, well, who are they in reply to? Well, go get all those, you know, go get all those tweets in chronological order and put them all in one view and filter out everything that you weren't talking to those people in the past half hour or whatever, you know, and
you traverse the reply thread as well.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's a lot of API calls though, right?
Yeah. It is, but they're search dot Twitter calls. So those are not, you're not charged for those.
Here's another way to do it, too. I mean, now we're kind of jumping back from concept to actual
to algorithms. Let's go.
But you know, but another way to do it, say that you were following two people without having to do anything algorithmically. If you already were following two people, maybe in my view, I want to just select two people and let everything else disappear for a second so I can just see those two people. And that's purely presentation logic at that point as well. Now, of course, I mean, that's a really specific case, but that's something I've kind of wished for. You know, on occasion, oh, you know, I'm in TweetDeck. You know, Chad Myers was really going at it with, you know, I forget who it was, but they were just, it's a great meaty conversation. And if I could just see those two guys.
Right.
So that's one idea.
Yeah, I think that whole, like, interestingness kind of thing, you know, is like, and that's a temporary interestingness.
It
but
is.
Then we talk
it
to,
is.
And we talk, and then also maybe something temporarily is, you know, maybe if, you know, like I like to follow Ted Neward, but maybe if he's talking about a football game, not so interesting. So, yeah, you know, and I mean, right now we've got the nuclear option in Witty, but I mean, there's almost a way of like, because we can say temporarily ignore this person. You know, you right click and just for the next hour, you don't see anything from them. And we've got, you know, regex filters and stuff like that. But there's almost, you know, there's ways that in the UI you could just kind of downvote something, you know, and just kind of fade, like we said, fade out. I don't know if right.
Yeah.
So let me retract a bit, because you did bring up that there is another community effort going on, too. And I have to admit, like, internally at Microsoft, right, so someone came to me and said, hey, we're going to do a WPF Twitter client or something like that. Or I saw a thread about it or something like that. And I was the one that replied and said, why on earth would we do that versus supporting a community project? And I pointed to Witty. I said, these guys have been asking for help. And they're not getting a lot of contributions. And what are we going to do? We're going to walk all over these people with, you know, a funded effort behind it? I said, I think that'd be the wrong thing to do. So is what we're talking about the wrong thing to do if there already is a community doing something? And or if it is okay to, I mean, community is community. There's no rules to say I can't do it. But
sure.
Is there value in combining, or does it just become a huge design by committee at that point?
Well, I'll answer part of that for myself. I have a selfish goal here, in as much as I'm not happy with any existing Twitter clients. If their efforts are cloning existing Twitter clients and just using the technology stack, nah, I'm not. I'm more excited about getting the experience I want. Now, it happens to align with the fact that I am a Microsoft developer. I'm WPF Silverlight guy. So that's what I, that's the stack I want to use. But if I'm not really interested in cloning an existing client. I guess the short answer for me is, what's their vision?
Yeah. Let me peel the onion to a question here. Should we contact that community and say, we're thinking the same thing too? Is there anything that you can share conceptually that you're working on? And,
My thoughts are, in a way with open source, there's benefits to having just pooling efforts, right? Instead of making 50 different small WPF clients that none of them are awesome, you know, make one that's super awesome.
Is that always an overarching goal that you reach?
Right. I don't know. I mean, in some cases it works. In some cases it doesn't, you know.
Well,
the one thing I would say is there's always a benefit, even if it's a separate effort, as long as it's it's available code.
Done in transparency.
Well, done in transparency, but Witty is BSD licensed, and I think BSD or MIT, I can't remember. It's a friendly license, right? And so I'm always happy if someone's able to yoink the code and use it for themselves, you know. So
somebody, I guess that's the right question.
I've yes, they have. I've gotten email and contact, you know, and maybe it's just, hey, I used your concept here or whatever. But and you know, that's part of why I think it would be good to move to update Witty, is because people are doing that kind of stuff. They're like, I want to check out WPF. I want to, this seems like a good place to start. And it's like, well, there's better concepts now, better ways of doing it. So I think that if we can come up with, I think it would be nice to pool efforts if we can kind of have a common consensus.
Well, how many people are involved with Witty right now? How many decision makers are there with Witty?
It's kind of nebulous. I think there's probably like 4 or 5 people.
Are there committers on the project? Or?
There's more than that.
Yeah, there are. There's a lot of committers, but I'd say active committers in the past 3 months, maybe 5 or 6.
How many people are involved with the other project as well?
I don't know. I think the same number would probably be a good assumption.
Here's my thought. Identifying the concepts and laying the base framework for those concepts as opposed to features, I prefer smaller groups. For once you get those concepts in place, you know, opening up at that point for features is great. And my only reason for that, because you said it's designed by committee, I think there's just a certain, you know, critical mass where you start.
That's what I mean. You start not getting anything done.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like at all.
Exactly. And for me, I like working in teams. Like 3 to 5 are my ideal team sizes.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
I think that's true. You get a foundation down, and then I think it is nice in a project to have somebody who's kind of, or a small group of people that are leading the charge and kind of saying, this is a nice idea, you can code it up, but I don't think this is going to go into the main thing, you know? Or that's great if you want to do it, submit a patch. You know, like you do need some kind of, you know, like leadership on the project. But I think that some of the things we've been talking about with extensibility and views is good for a larger group then once it's in place, you know? So you've got, like, if other people want to, if the project grows at that point, you know, we've got, okay, you want to build in friend feed support? Awesome. You know, have at it, you know, and, or you want to build in a new view, go for it, you know?
Right.
That kind of thing. But what do you think, like, so you were talking about, you know, spiking on this, what do you think would be kind of, we all leave Mix, we go about our, you know, next, what do we do next?
Like, logistically, like, where do we host it, and how do we aggregate these ideas, like, how do we continue this?
Right.
The most important part for me would be...
If only there was a tool where we could prototype things and concepts that eventually could turn into code.
Well, the main...
Basalmic? Is that what you...
Sketchflow.
I'm joking with you.
But we... The main thing I want and need is these conversations, because that's what shapes it. I mean, that's what shapes it for me. I mean, yeah, I can set up an Unfuddle repository for this tonight, right now, and give us all accounts, and we could start sharing code and posting messages. But, you know, even like a weekly Skype 30-minute talk, it just gives me so much more momentum than any other topic. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is voice collaboration is really good.
Here's something I've been wondering about is we do have a team of committers on Witty, a lot of people who are excited about these exact features we've been talking about, and I feel bad that they're not here to, but I'm wondering if, I don't know if this would be Witty version 3, and part of the idea that, I think that, if this does everything that Witty's trying to do, maybe a new name is good, maybe a totally new project is good. But I was thinking, maybe if there are some people using Witty, and if this was just the next step, upgrade to the newest Witty, and here's where you get it, you might kind of continue to get people, and also people that know the Twitter API, that are excited about, have been fighting with the way Witty's architected now because they want to do these things we're talking about. So I don't know. I don't know if that would be a good idea, but it was something I was thinking about this morning.
Well, prior to talking to you guys the day before yesterday, I was planning on doing something like this for educational purposes with WPF. I was going to take the FriendFeed client I'd started, and I was going to take the concepts we had in Caliburn, and I was going to try to make a provider-based model and my two core providers would be FriendFeed and Twitter. That was what I was thinking before I form them to you guys. So now, my brain's wide open.
Yeah.
At this point, I think you guys get a lot more investment here and a lot more community to look out for than, I'm a cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I definitely have selfish reasons of wanting the Silverlight side of things.
Yeah. Well, and so to us as developers, we're like, well, WPF, and then this is Silverlight, and this is But I think in terms of people using the app, it's just. It might be cool if I was just, hey, look at Witty version 3. They really kicked ass, Now it does this, and it runs on Mac, and look at all this stuff, And as opposed to, like, hey, look at this brand new, Twitter client. It's like, well, this is version 3. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm a little back and forth. So Silverlight, Silverlight doesn't have all the features that WPF has in terms of, like for example, one feature that WPF is type data template. So, if I reply, I can make it look a certain way. If it's
that's true.
You can do that in Silverlight with Trickery, but it's harder. But then on the other side, one of the pain points with WPF application is the install experience is a lot harder.
Yeah.
And doing click once, and even with the new client profile, it's a little easier, but it's still an install experience. So I'm kind of in between right now. So I'm open for either route. And I'm even fine with, in terms of starting fresh on instead of continuing where we are with Witty right now. So when I did Witty, when that started, the Twitter API was very small. Mm. And I think the core functionality was there, but it doesn't have any of the new functionality, including search, which Twitter bought when they bought Surmise. We haven't incorporated that, so the API hasn't grown to today's usage of Twitter. So starting fresh might be a good idea. But on the other side of it, we lose some of the momentum we have with Witty, including owning the domain, having support contributors currently, and all the issues list in terms of issues, not in terms of issues, but in terms of ideas out of it.
Yeah, it's the whole brand. It's the brand ecosystem behind it.
Yes.
So to me,
I have no opinion.
I don't think there's necessarily a conflict. Like, okay, it could be Witty 3, Silverlight out of the browser. And Witty,
it would be a rewrite.
It would be a rewrite, yeah. But there's a lot of code in there that we have that I think we could reference. You know what I mean? So we could say, well, here's this trick you have to do when you're talking to the Twitter API because they require this header to be set.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's where I'm failing, because, I haven't studied Twitter API so much. I started with FriendFeed just because you guys are already doing Twitter. That was my motivation.
Sure. Have you guys looked at TweetSharp? Have you looked much at TweetSharp?
I kind of. The Fluent interface for making Twitter API call. Usually I'm more on the implementation side, so it looks interesting.
It's a little DSL, is that what it is?
Yeah, and it's built using, C# 3.5.
Fluent type.
Fluent.
Okay, yeah, that's what you said, sorry.
And, I think that in a way it's kind of, it's a fresher, and it's built using more of the modern Twitter APIs. I think that would be something to look at, is because it's, like you said, you started back when Twitter API was small and was maybe friendlier in some ways, you know, and now they require authentication on a lot of things. And
I mean, that I looked at it last night after you told me about it, and he claims to implement 100% of the API, so.
Oh, really?
So that could be a springboard thing, too, you know. Yeah.
But without getting him on board, would that be like a dependency? Like if they were Twitter chained somehow
with the license?
Yeah, I'll have to look at the license.
Yeah, the license isn't really a concern, I would say. I mean, we use lots of open source stuff as dependencies for other open source stuff all the time, so.
So we should check that out, and we could say, you know, like number one, hopefully the license is, I believe the license is an open one.
Is it open source?
Right? Yeah. And most things too, if you're just including a compiled assembly and you're not bringing in the source code, you get past a lot of legal issues just by doing that.
Well, I would.
Is it doing the thread model on a separate thread innately? That was one of my biggest mistakes with the Witty, is that relying on the caller to handle the background thread calls and not lock up the UI. So if the class library to access Twitter or any kind of service innately know how to dispatch its call, that would be a good thing. So that's one thing I would look to see if Tweetsharp is already doing that before we make that decision.
I'd be surprised if it was. I'd be surprised. I suspect you're going to have to handle the async stuff yourself. But
because if otherwise it would be a only make sense in WPF and Silverline, and the idea is it's
MIT's good.
The one thing I was thinking of too, of like conceptually on that problem too within Silverlight, is instead of totally going out and fetching and managing that, is it because in Silverlight we will have to proxy the Twitter API unless we can reach out to Twitter and say, hey, what are you going to do? But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
They haven't done it for anyone else, so. But assume there will be a proxy right there, and because you own that proxy, there's latency, but there's also the benefit of having that. You know, is duplex push an option? So rather than the client always going out and having a timer going and going like that, could that proxy serve as the pub sub type model? That's the one that's going out and fetching and telling the client, "Yep, you got a new reply now."
What about?
I don't know if that scales at all.
You're putting
a lot of effort on the server now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how would you handle the proxy? I mean, how would you do that in this scenario we're talking about? I mean, who owns the proxy? Because you're talking about having a site that's going to act as a proxy.
So this was the problem that I was talking to John. John and I started talking because one of the runtime owner of Silverlight, basically, I was presenting. We were talking about out of browser, and I said, I think we're doing something wrong in this area. And he didn't understand the use case. I brought up Twirl as an example of a use case, which, like, he spawned a background thread of his own saying, why don't we have an out-of-browser Silverlight Twitter client? And I explained the problem of cross-domain.
Right.
And so he said, just fix that problem. So then we were talking, and I said, the problem basically is exactly what you just said, who owns it? So Azure may be the owner of that.
Okay.
Right. Because no one wants to, you know, it could be 10 users, it could be 10 million users, but right now I think we could look to Azure. So I talked to Steve Marks this morning, who owns Azure.
Yeah, I met him. I met him at the other party, the PAL party.
I mean, that's an option. I'm just throwing that out there, that Azure, I mean, we're all .NET friendly. It's a .NET friendly environment. It max scale to two instances.
Well, actually, one thing about having a proxy is you could do some wicked cool stuff like with caching.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could...
Would we be, I mean...
And metadata. You could start adding metadata to the Twitter feed as well to do things like, I need to think about that. You could do stuff.
Well, yeah, like, for instance, if a group of friends all vote up on something, there's a common place of saying, like, you're friends with Alan, he voted this up. You know, I mean, there's a place where you could share some information.
Uh-huh.
It's I think that's good. I think that, you know, you've got a dependency.
I mean,
a huge dependency.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, the Silverlight route will introduce a major dependency.
Are there a critical
one?
Yeah. Are there other ways to do the proxy? Like, for example, what if you could have a local proxy? That would require installing some sort of shim application, though, that actually acts that, which is...
Or can you elevate your... There's no real way.
Beyond, beyond the API proxy, we'll still have problems with authentication. Right? Because, well, I don't know. I actually have never worked on OAuth stuff, so I don't know what that mechanism is. That a token-based thing? Has anyone implemented that?
Why would you need to use OAuth?
Well, that's Twitter API supports that.
Not yet.
No, actually, it's now. It's open. Yeah. It just opened.
Okay.
The reason why I said because looking at OAuth versus just basic auth, because Silverlight will not support basic auth. You don't have access to the auth header.
Can't you say? I think with Twitter, you can send it in the. You can post. You know, the phony.
Normal basic.
Yeah, I think you can.
That's some pretty big hurdles, actually, that I hadn't thought about.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, the path of least resistance is WPF.
Yeah. Well, there's another path, too, is to actually write it to be cross-compiling, I mean, which is a pain by itself, and then keep your fingers crossed that the Silverlight, a solution will arise for Silverlight, and then you have a single code base that you can work against. That has a whole other set of problems with it. We've had some clients that have done that, and Caliburn's cross-compiling, and you get some.
Silverlight 3 is at beta level right now, and if we were to work on it, we probably need to wait until Silverlight 3 on TM for why to
have it ready to release.
Yeah.
Well, if you want it to be showcased at Mixed, it has to be ready by the release. You know, you got to be RTM at the same time. 3 is RTM.
Based on what I know of the roadmap, I can't anticipate this project being done before it'll be released, though. So,
okay.
I think you, as the Silverlight decision in this type of effort would be made, I think assumption of V3 is an okay assumption.
Well, you're talking about proxy at Azure. Is that something where Microsoft would just pony up to host that proxy to do, you know, what kind of...
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I have an Azure account, and, you know, I'll just spin up the instance of it, and we just do it that way. If it gets to a point where scale is an issue, then that's what I talked to Steve about. You know, he'll help us out. But you know, I asked the same question. I'm like, hey, so can we get like a special place for a community project? And he was like, well, why wouldn't you just use your account? I mean, that's kind of what it's there for. So it ties to a person, but you know,
yeah.
Unless there's better ideas, I mean, I don't know.
Rob, you don't need good ways to
It's currently the free idea, right? That means, I mean, like S3 or EC2 could be an idea, but that's not free. And I don't think Amazon would at all be interested.
Right.
One of the problems we're talking about right now is creating a out-of-the-browser Silverlight Twitter client with the whole problem of cross-domain and having to use a proxy to hit Twitter.
Wow.
So it's the context.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be tricky.
And my solution
was... You
can't
use the browser hacks that you would use, right? There's no connection there.
My solution was to use a WPF.
Right.
That's a pretty nasty hack. I don't know.
It's a huge patch.
They don't have any kind of cross-domain, whatever. On
they do. But it's closed to start out Twitter. I mean, that's a to-do, to contact Twitter and just find out why that is. And I'll take that action. That's fine. And even if they go, sure, where it's going to come from, we say, you know, it's coming from api.witty or whatever, or something like that. It still may be a hurdle with Silverlight, depending on the whole auth thing. If we have to manipulate critical headers, it'll be an issue. That's why I said OAuth. I think OAuth is a token base, like you say, here's my credentials, you get a token, and that you have to send that token with every request now or something like that.
I don't know.
But not as a header?
Not as a header. As a
query string.
Query string.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering, should we wrap up?
Should we sum up?
Yeah.
Well.
No new taxes.
Yeah. 1,000 points to left. Okay, so I heard three goals actually fall out of this. I want to just regurgitate them. So I heard there was an educational goal because people are looking at Witty saying, how can I build a WPF/Silverlight client? So that's something that is at least an implicit goal. there's like I say I want a good client. I mean, I want the best client out there. But we also want to promote the platform. So those are the three things I heard coming out of this. So concepts that we want in this. First of all, we want a baseline client that is something like Twirl, like Twitter, like what Witty currently is. That baseline features. We have certain pains we've identified, like, you know, being able to have separate communities that we're communicating with where we really don't want it to cross over so much. The ability to somehow recognize conversations is one thing. There different uses for the outgoing side of it, like microblogging versus actually conversing with people. So almost a business aspect to it in some respects. I mean, I do that sometimes using it to have a conversation. On the incoming side, sometimes you just want to see a stream of what people are doing and we want to step into it like a cocktail conversation. Sometimes we want to actually get that sort of zeitgeist feel for what's actually going on in the community.
Right.
We also want to have the ability to partition our feeds how we want to see them in terms of here's a query, here's a group, again, all the TweetDeck functionality. But we also want to make sure that we're leaving it open for extensibility. Not really clear necessarily on what levels, but the maybe providing whole, you know, plugin for providers, all the way up to here's new different views, here's different ways to render. I had one other thought too as well I didn't write down.
I think, you know, you were talking about the feature, so you're saying baseline of Twirl and then a lot of other things like, you know, different communities and conversations and all that. What I kind of personally feel, and I think I've heard come out as most important, is like baseline of Twirl plus, you know, like the, and I guess Twirl including like the TweetDeck features, like the search and groups. Is that?
Groups is the only thing that Twirl doesn't have.
Okay. So I think that those are probably the biggest requests we have for Witty. It's like, you've got all this stuff, but we want search and groups. So I don't, just as a, in terms of customer requests, those are the ones that I've heard. I don't know about if you've heard similar things.
So the other things that we talked about were supporting multiple layers of information. You mentioned Tweets Group being able to kind of like somehow pull out the signal from all the noise and related to the concept of multiple views.
Right.
And also related to that is user customization. Like they're not everyone uses Twitter slightly differently. There are multiple ways to use Twitter, and somehow we need to have that flexibility.
Which is one of the reasons why I think why it's so popular.
Yeah.
Is because of that which I'm really influenced too by the Basecamp 37 Signals thinking, which is that, you know, don't try to give the user everything. Give them a set of tools and let them construct it.
The last part was when we were talking about destroy Twitter and having animation. I guess this go back to the goal of platform and or actually just
a great user experience.
Great user experience as well,
differentiated,
right? Because animations and the whole like.
Attention to detail.
Yeah, that's one of the things about...
You're talking about just gradients everywhere and tons of pixel shaders,
no.
Right?
And just
blurring messages.
Just making a client fun. Like the whole client, like a fun experience. Like an enjoyable experience to use.
Right. I mean, because if I had the thought when I discovered Blue, I thought, okay, if I had the sexiness of Blue, you know, with the functionality of TweetDeck,
right,
I would, you know, get me a long way to where I want to be. Although it's still, they both still lack that whole alternate ways of visualizing the data.
Yeah.
That's still something that's missing for me. But yeah, I agree. Let's start running code.
All right.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
What about concerns? Like, you know how a lot of people say, like, TweetDeck is a memory hog? And, like, I don't want to use TweetDeck because it's, like, takes up like the same complaints with Firefox and all that, memory footprint, or even Tim saying that he has a small screen in real estate, like screen footprint, and you know,
you know,
is that a concern, or that's kind of like?
Well, I think that in a way that's the great user experience, right?
Yeah, I would agree.
And I think that what I've seen with Witty, we've got the memory usage is not crazy, and I think that a lot of that just comes for free with the, you know, virtualizing the list boxes. So I don't know.
Twirl actually is a hog.
So what's the memory, typical memory usage on Witty right now?
It's
like 80, 60?
Yeah, 80. 60 to 80.
What about, do you know what Twirl is?
If I keep it open, which I normally do, it gets up to like 500, 600.
Really?
Yeah. That goes really above bad. 1 gig. Sometimes.
Really? Above a gig? Wow.
I don't know if it's the app or if it's air. I don't know. But yeah. It's really bad.
We'll say it's air. Just... Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Well, no, that's pretty good for WPF app, I think. I mean, that's not bad at all.
Cool. All right. Should I stop recording? I mostly was recording just because I thought there are other people on the Witty team and people that would want to hear this. And, we can listen back to it later, but I also thought that.
That's good. Especially that one. I just accidentally interrupted a podcast.
No.
No, there were some good things that Tim said we want to be sure to put on
and I
put broadcast.
All right, that wraps it up. Thanks for sticking around. If you're interested in what we talked about, keep an eye on the Witty Twitter project on Google Code, and I'll make sure to post any links or updates there. Check out the show notes, too. We'll have links to all the participants' blogs. Catch us next week on Herd of Code.